How to do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. It is Thursday, the 28th of May. This is 2020. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Hi, Kelly. Good morning. Hi, Charlotte.
Glad to have you with me. Also, I have Charlotte Henry, the other half of the Dream Team, with me. Hi, Charlotte.
Spoiler alert, I'm here.
So, Charlotte, I would like to start with you and the project you are currently working on right now for the MacObserver.com.
Yes. Turns out when you can't really go anywhere, there's lots of time on your hands. So I am using that time to go through every Apple store in the whole world and see which ones are open. You're welcome.
In the whole world?
In the whole, we're going global, John.
Aren't there about 500 of them?
There are many hundreds of them, yes.
Ask Charlotte. She's stared at most of them.
Can you write a Perl script for this?
If only.
It's entirely possible, actually. Yes.
I'm at Tennessee at the moment. We're in Tennessee, where there are two Apple stores open at the time of this recording.
All right.
Joking and my loss of sanity aside, Apple has been stage by stage rolling out the opening of Apple stores around the world. It started with mainland China. Then, if I'm not mistaken, South Korea were the first stores outside of mainland China to go open, I think. And then we're now moving. There's some places in Europe. I believe all the Italian stores outside of the Lombardy region were open. I think the Lombardy ones may be opening in the not too distant future, or may actually be open. I'm going to Europe next. And so basically it's kind of hard if you suddenly realize you have my iPhone, my MacBook Pro has broken, and I really need someone to help me. Mm-hmm. It's kind of stressful to try and find out where you need to go. And so we're trying to make a resource over at themacobserver.com where you can quickly look and see what's available near you. It's worth noting that and I'm trying to specify this within the page, just some stores are open. This is particularly relevant in the US, by the way.
Yes.
Some stores are open, some are offering kind of, you bought a new iPhone, you can pick it up from the curbside, that kind of thing. Like, there are different, there are different elements that are available in different stores. I guess some of that depends on local state law and other, you know, on the ground realities at the moment.
Charlotte, but are those levels of service notated on the website's page?
I think so. It's kind of hard to dig it out at the moment, because if you look, so if I just pick one that I know is open, where should we go? Let's go to Portland near Kelly. Let's go over to Portland and see, because there is one store in the whole state, great state of Portland, that is open. That is in a place called Pioneer Place. And
yes.
That is open. And so, yes, it says on the page for Pioneer Place, we are open again, offering Apple Store pickups of online orders and Genius support by appointment. We'll be offering shopping and walk-in Genius support soon. In the meantime, you can shop online.
Okay.
So the point is, yes, there are, but some stores are limited service.
Okay.
And I think that's it. And it's also worth noting for people who are, you know, maybe concerned about going into a big store, Apple has made a number of provisions. They're limiting the number of people, obviously, at a location at any one time. They insist on face coverings and will provide those to anyone who, you know, if you can't get hold of your own mask, they will provide you with one of those. They are also offering touchless temperature checks. Again, I think you have to have that before you're allowed in the store. Obviously, people need to keep a couple of meters apart.
Right.
And they say,
so if you thought you had a hard time getting a Genius appointment before.
you used my magic word, meters, 2 meters. I love it. Thank you, Charlotte.
Welcome to
the rest of the world.
The rest of the world.
Welcome to Europe.
Exactly.
And they are continuously, obviously, deep cleaning the premises as well. So,
sure.
Look, Apple are doing things to help people feel confident and feel safe in those stores. I think you were joking about, oh, if you want an Apple Store appointment, good luck, you know, Genius Bar appointment, good luck. That is the type of thing they are prioritizing.
Okay. I think whatever. But there's only a certain number of them in the first place, and in some parts of the U.S. anyway, it was hard to get those appointments ahead of time.
Of course.
Like a walk-in appointment, forget about it, because you know those always fill up
really quickly. Definitely will not be able to. I wouldn't try getting walk-in appointments at the moment. I don't think Apple is going to allow that. I mean,
you may be able
to go to a store and say, "When can I have an appointment? I have this problem," and they'll tell you to come back in 3 hours or 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always better to go to apple.com, the retail site of apple.com, and, you know, try and book a retail, a Genius Bar appointment online.
Mm-hmm. You can also do that in the app, I believe, in the Apple Store app, I think.
If you pull up the store, you can hit it there.
Yeah.
So all those things are going on. Apple is meant to be opening 100 Apple stores across the US this week. It started very slowly, and now it's really... It's exponential growth.
Mm-hmm. Which is surprising to me, because I didn't realize the Portland store was open. The Pioneer Place store was open. So,
yeah, I mean,
technically it's the only Portland store, but yeah.
These are, you know, that could have happened within the last 24 hours. Today may be the first day it's open. I don't know that location specifically, but it's, and there are some stores that might not be listed the first time you look at this list I'm putting together that I'll update it again tomorrow. For example. So do check back, because I'm going to try and keep it up to date as much as I possibly can. And if I've missed something and you've walked outside your local Apple store anywhere in the world and you see it's open and I haven't listed it, please do drop me an email, a tweet, and let me know, because I want to keep it up to date. We want to try and help people if they need something. You know, something fixed is the main thing. Because I think it's worth pointing out, this is not my personal opinion, this is what Apple is saying. And if I've linked in the piece to a letter Deirdre O'Brien, who's Apple's head of retail, wrote as well. They don't really want people at this point coming in to browse.
Yeah.
Like, if you just want to look at a shiny thing, you shouldn't. Don't go into the Apple store yet. Look at the shiny things at apple.com.
Mm-hmm.
If you know the shiny thing you want and you want to buy it, probably just buy it at apple.com. But if you need to go into the store, there are an increasing number of stores that are open.
Mm-hmm. I have a thought about that, Charlotte. You know, we have a trade-off here against health and the economy. And we're constantly struggling with trying to size up and estimate the quality and the diligence of the merchant we're going to work with, whether it's a sit-down restaurant or a store in the mall. And we have to figure out whether the restaurant or the merchant is being very, very careful, or whether they're just being very eager to open. And Apple's a company that we traditionally trusted with our privacy and security. And the way Apple's approaching this, the measures that they've taken and the procedures they put in place, kind of makes you feel good. I mean, if there's one company we can think about, you know, thinking about this deeply, is Apple. And if Apple lays out the rules for how to conduct business in their stores and wearing a mask and temperature checks, you can probably be pretty confident if you need to go there for one of the allowed processes, that you're probably okay in the store. Now, what happens in the rest of the mall, I don't know. If it's a standalone store, that doesn't matter. But it's one calibration. I mean, if Apple thinks it's safe to open these stores, that's some measure of the caliber of where we are in terms of trading off economy and health. I think it's a interesting situation to see how Apple's handling it.
I think Apple has generally behaved. I've discussed it on this show. I've discussed it with Chuck Joyner. You know, Apple has been probably more active than they ever wanted to be.
Responsible is the word that comes to mind.
In a variety. I think the way they're in the stores does appear to be pretty responsible. They obviously want to get their staff back to work. You know, they're a company that they need to sell stuff.
But the company has so much money in the bank they'd be the last company who would be, you know, greedy in this regard. I mean, they can afford to be sensible and responsible and set the example.
Mm-hmm. Or do they have... Sorry, I'm not going to give the cynical reply to that. I think it's fairly clear Apple is taking keeping its stores clean and safe as seriously as any company could. And we've not had a burst of Apple stores opening. Obviously, particularly in the US, it's state by state. Mm-hmm. Apple seems to be opening stores in specific regions as soon as it feels that that is a safe and viable thing to do. So, for example, the example I gave in Italy was it opened all the stores in Italy, mm-hmm. apart from in one region, which really was the epicenter of the country's outbreak.
Okay.
At the moment, here in the UK, as far as we don't have any Apple stores open. I imagine that, you know, in the coming weeks, that will be something that changes. And again, I'll update it. But, you know, it's piece by piece, obviously working with whatever the local laws and regulations are and whatever it thinks it can do, mm-hmm. you know, to help get its, you know, for points to go back to work, for it to be safe, to be able to keep selling stuff, you know.
Right.
It's all these things balancing up. But I think John's not being unreasonable to say that Apple is, you know, behaving in a pretty responsible way with all this.
Well, and
it seems so anyway.
Part of it is that Apple's in sort of a unique position as businesses that have locations nationwide, in that a lot of people who are working from home are working on a MacBook or maybe on an iMac. And if that's part of what is allowing you to continue to do your job, if something happens to it, you need help. And I think there might be a certain amount of that, which is why, at least nationally, I haven't seen a lot of other places that are announcing, like, you know, in parts of the United States where things are opening up again, we're going to be part of that opening up process. And that could just be because it's not making it to my usual news sources. I don't know. But I think that's part of why we're seeing this from Apple, is because it's important. Like, you know, this is stuff that people are doing that is part of their jobs, you know, things that, you know, the gear that they need is stuff that comes from Apple. And if that stuff isn't working like it should, then it's, you know, it's really important to be able to get that fixed in some form or another. And this would also sort of lighten the load on all of the remote folks at Apple, like, you know, people who need help or repair facilities and things like that. You know, we'll mail you a box and you can FedEx your machine to us and we'll figure it out and get it back to you and everything else. So I think there's a certain amount of that that Apple is sort of trying to keep up with, because I think, I don't remember if I said it on the show or not, but it very much surprises me that the Pioneer Place store is open. But I think part of the reason I'm surprised is just because I haven't heard that most of the rest of the things that are in Portland are opening up. But, you know, everybody that works at home, that, I mean, I know it's anecdotal, but I know loads and loads of people who are not necessarily Apple people, who are, their daily work machine is a MacBook Pro of some vintage, whether it's brand new or not. And, you know, that stuff goes wrong with those things all the time. So it's entirely possible that it would be really great, you know, for people to have a repair option or an assist option in some way. So we will keep on it. As Charlotte said, please let her know if the Apple store in your vicinity happens to be open. You can email us at observations@macobserver.com. You can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. Now, John, the thing that you wanted to talk about today is Fraggle Rock.
Yeah, Apple announced the other day that they were acquiring the exclusive rights to 96 episodes, I think, of Fraggle Rock, and rebooting mm-hmm. the series to mm-hmm. begin new episodes. And I started, the first reaction I had to this was in reference to what we talked about last week, where Apple was trying to acquire some back catalog to make up for the fact that the COVID-19 had suspended production of some of their shows mm-hmm. and slowed things down, and not having a back catalog was putting Apple at a disadvantage compared to the other streaming services.
Yes.
And we hypothesized that Apple wouldn't have much luck because probably the other copyright IP owners would not be interested in licensing out to the competition. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to be able to keep that stuff in reserve to roll out at a later date to be competitive.
Well, basically, what it came down to was all the good stuff is taken from what we can tell, except for maybe the MGM catalog, which includes James Bond movies. That was really about it.
And I was talking about some old 1950s movies that people took me seriously, and I was just joking about those 50s shows.
Oh, right, because that was the Kukla, Fran, and Ollie episode.
They're just kidding about Captain Midnight and Sky King. Never mind.
But we're never kidding about Captain Kangaroo. So there is that.
No. Well, you know, Apple may have latched on to something here. You know, I also talked about whether Apple TV has a focus, because there was an article at ZDNet about the different services and what they were really good at, like Netflix for original content. And YouTube TV for cord cutters and so on. And so what was Apple's specific focus that they could hang their hat on and sort of direct towards? And it may not be one single focus. It may be several focuses, and children's content looks like it might be one of the emerging focuses. I'm just having that feeling. I don't have anything to pin it on yet.
I think, well, I don't think it's just a random feeling, because we saw a big ad. There was an ad we linked to on themacobserver.com that Apple released, showing all the kids stuff that's available on Apple TV Plus, Snoopy in Space, Ghostwriter, all those kind of things. I would just counter that in the last kind of couple of week, 10 days or so, we've seen Apple, it looks like, get the rights to two absolutely big, huge blockbusters. The next Tom Hanks movie is going to Greyhound, is going to be exclusively on Apple TV Plus, which is pretty amazing. And it looks like the next Robert De Niro, Martin Scorsese, Leo DiCaprio loving is going to be on Apple TV Plus as well.
That could be an alternate dual focus, early theatrical releases in some special cases.
Well, I think that's certainly what's happening at the moment. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That is definitely what's happening at the moment, because both those films were meant to be, obviously cinema releases, theatre releases.
Sure.
And apparently this Scorsese film, Killers of the Flower Moon, I think will still at some point be distributed to theatres via Paramount, but is going to be on, it's going to be labelled an app and an original film, and it will be there. So, yeah, I think John's right to focus on Apple trying to build a portfolio of children's content. But I don't think that's the only part of the story. But I do think John's right that it's an important part.
It doesn't matter how many focuses there are, as long as they know what their focuses are and pick good ones.
Charlotte, did we just hear the rocket scientist tell us that?
I don't even know.
I'm going to have to go to the tape and see if I heard what I actually heard. So I think, like, at least to me, I'm glad to see that if they're picking up catalog sort of things, right? Stuff that's not necessarily new. I'm glad to see it. I'm glad to see that Fraggle Rock has a home on streaming anywhere, because Fraggle Rock's a fun show. My question would be exactly how they're divvying that up, because for people who don't know, there were three different versions of Fraggle Rock, because they was meant for it to be international. It aired on HBO in the 80s. So why it's not part of shiny new HBO Max, I can't figure out.
Well, it got bounced around, Kelly. Yeah. Several owners. I was reading up on it, and it's had at least three different landing places.
For sure.
And they couldn't make a go of it, perhaps, because it was older material, or they didn't see themselves as a service that was going to highlight that particular kind of show. And so it kind of just sat. And Apple was eager to acquire it.
Well,
and so out of brilliance, out of desperation is what I'm calling it.
Well, HBO has Sesame Street now. So first run episodes of Sesame Street show up on HBO before they show up on PBS. So that's sort of why I was confused why it didn't show up on HBO. And Disney has a whole Muppet section on Disney Plus, because they've got some Muppet content happening over there. So that's part of why this was a very confusing
move.
This
was the ugly stepchild that nobody wanted, and Apple found out about it being available and seized on it.
Yeah, and I'm sort of sticking with my original content stand, I guess, for lack of a better word, where what I think should happen is if Apple's being honest and actually wants to spend some real money to acquire a catalog, the catalog they need is MGM, because that gives them James Bond. And I don't know why you wouldn't, honestly, because I can't see the amount of money that MGM wants for streaming James Bond movies. I can't see it being a thing that Apple couldn't pay or wouldn't pay.
Who owns MGM now? Somebody has to own them.
I don't know. That's the whole thing. Like, everything's up in the air anymore. I don't know who's made what deal. I mean, you know, it, like, if anybody knows anything about why Spider-Man is in some Marvel movies but not other Marvel movies, or how the X-Men stuff works, if you learned anything about any of that stuff, it's all like 100 times more complex than those deals were. So it all gets really confusing when it comes to rights, which is part of why we only have 3 seasons of The Muppet Show on DVD. Hi, welcome to Daily Muppet Observations. So I think it's going to be interesting.
An improvement with Daily Observations from Daily Observations with a bunch of Muppets. So, you know.
That's true. I think that's going to do it for us. If anything changes, obviously, we will let you know. And if anything changes where you are and you find out about an Apple Store again, please give us that feedback. And that's going to do it for us today. I want to thank both of you for being here. I love when you show up and talk to me about media and TV and what we're all watching and enjoying. It always makes me happy. So, Charlotte, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
And John, thanks so much for coming by.
Hey, nice to be here. Thanks.
Always glad to have you. And that does it for another show from the Dream Team. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.